This Lenten season, we're seeking to learn what it means to live into our baptism. So far, we have said it means letting God love us with water, accepting ourselves as God's beloved, turning or returning to God, a washing away of our sins, a commitment to following Jesus, naming him Lord, and pledging our allegiance to the kingdom of God. Today, we see how baptism brings an anointing of God's Holy Spirit and a calling from God upon our lives. At Jesus' baptism, when he came up out of the water, we are told the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, anointing him for his calling in the world. In ancient Israel, the king was anointed with oil to be God's son, God's kingly representative in the nation. In some Christian traditions, anointing with oil has been, and still is, part of the sacred ceremony of baptism. A while back, there was a movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where a handsome young man falls in love with a Greek girl and agrees as part of the marriage commitment to convert to her Greek Orthodox faith and be baptized. The Orthodox priest at her church is used to baptizing infants in a baptismal font that is way too small for a grown man. So the priest drags in a plastic backyard kiddie pool into the sanctuary for the baptismal service. The groom-to-be stands naked except for his bathing suit, ankle deep in the pool. Usually in the ceremony, the godmother anoints the infant with oil. In this case, the sister-in-law gladly volunteers to be the godmother and anoints her new brother-in-law with oil. Starting with his chest, she rubs oil all over his body, and one gets the impression she's enjoying this ceremony a little too much. In the New Testament church, the laying on of hands at baptism was used to signify the anointing of the Spirit. In early Baptist life, the laying on of hands accompanied baptism, and in my ministry, I have engaged in a form of this practice. Baptism is a type of anointing ritual symbolizing the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the one being baptized. In the kingdom of God, Jesus preached, all the baptized are anointed, called, and Spirit-empowered to be God's daughters and sons in the world. Baptism is really the ordination of all believers to be ministers of the gospel of Christ. Ordination is not just for clergy and deacons. The Apostle Peter writes in his first letter that we are a royal priesthood to each other. We, the baptized, are all called, anointed, and ordained to be priests to one another, ministers of the grace of God to all people. Following Jesus' baptism, where he was anointed by the Spirit, he was led into the wilderness to discern his calling, his vocation. What kind of Messiah would he be? Then following his 40 days in the wilderness, praying and fasting, Jesus began the ministry of his calling. Luke tells us he entered his hometown synagogue and announced the mission of his calling. He took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he read the words he claimed as his anointing and calling. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said, "because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he announced that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Some 3 years later, at the conclusion of his ministry on Easter evening, the risen Christ appears to his disciples huddled in fear behind locked doors, and he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And following this blessing of peace and this commission to be sent, John tells us that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." As Jesus was anointed and called and sent into the world as God's Son, so we, daughters and sons of God, like the disciples, are anointed by God's Spirit and called and sent by God to be a part of God's mission of love in the world. And what God sends and calls us to do, God gifts and empowers us to do. Inherent in the anointing of the Spirit is a calling from God on our lives. Living your baptism, then, in part means being attentive to what the Spirit of God has gifted and is calling you to do. Like Jesus, we may need some wilderness time to ponder the meaning of our baptism and the nature of our vocation. But in what I hope is relief to you if you've heard differently, this is not a search for what many of us have been taught as God's perfect plan for your life. Though God from time to time may call us to certain tasks and may call certain people to certain vocations, nowhere in the Bible are we told that God has a perfect plan for each person's life, and that if we fail somewhere along the way to recognize that singular plan, then our lives can never be in God's perfect will. The good news is that God has no such perfect plan for your life. There is no blueprint that includes what job you should have, whom you should marry, where you should live, so we can live free of that anxiety. We all, however, have the primary calling of living in partnership with God and God's purposes in the world, loving God with all that we are and all that we have. And it seems God gives us the freedom based on our gifts and our circumstances to live out that calling. In the 16th century, the only ones considered to have a specific calling or vocation were the priests, nuns, and monks. But about that time, as the Protestant Reformation was building momentum, a priest named Martin Luther gave us a revolutionary new way to understand vocation. Luther said we all have a vocation. He said that a cobbler making shoes serves God just as much as a monk saying his prayers. The Holy Spirit can call anyone to any vocation, male or female, rich or poor, high school dropout or PhD. The Spirit can also call us to different places of ministry and mission at different seasons in our lives. It's not as if God calls us to do just one thing all of our lives, and if we miss it, well, we've missed it forever. God is more creative, and life is more dynamic than that. And your calling isn't just about what you do, but about how you do it. It isn't just about doing a certain thing. It's also about being a certain way. Wherever we are, whatever we do, we're called to live lives of goodness, truth, and beauty. Our deepest calling is to become the person God created us to be. Your calling will most likely be a combination of DNA, life experience, and the Spirit of God. Frederick Buechner and Parker Palmer both say that the quest for our calling begins by listening to your life. Buechner says that God often calls us to the meeting place of our great joy and the world's great need. In search of our calling, our vocation, we look deeply at our own joys and hungers, and we look closely at the needs of the world around us. And where they meet may just be the place where God is calling us. Our calling is almost always connected to the needs of the world around us. Not all of them. We're not meant to bear all the needs of the world, but those suited to our gift. Calling and vocation transcend our profession or even our pay. The kind of baptismal calling we're talking about is that kind of word that comes as a divine invitation, a call from outside ourselves, an urging from God's Holy Spirit. This is what I need to do today, now. And just as Jesus announced his calling that day in the synagogue, so the Spirit anoints and sends us to continue his mission, comforting the brokenhearted, bringing good news of justice to the poor, setting free those in one kind of captivity or another. Your calling then is more than your job, though it may include your job. Your calling is the unique way you offer your best gifts to the world, whether it be through art, mothering and fathering, teaching, hammering, writing, gardening, serving, helping. These are the beautiful things you do, paid or unpaid, which live at the heart of who you are. To discern our calling, we go deep into ourselves and seek to discover our gifts. We look closely at the world around us and where it needs healing and help and hope. For the ultimate test of whether we're being called to something is to ask, how does my calling serve my neighbor? Calling is not about self-fulfillment. We listen for a calling beyond ourselves. And we seek help from the community of faith. We'll talk a bit more about this next week. But I want to note here that in community, we learn more deeply who we are. In community, people see our gifts in ways we may not see. And they encourage us along the path. Rachel Greco is leading our youth to understand God's calling by inviting members of our church to share with our youth how they live their faith in their everyday jobs and their everyday hobbies. If you're interested in sharing with our youth your sense of calling, let Rachel know. She'll be glad to sign you up. But think about it. Who in your life planted the seed that became your vocation, your calling? Who saw you and said, you know, you're really good at that? It is a fundamental purpose of the church to help each other identify our gifts and then encourage each other in the use and development of those gifts. And the beauty of life with God is that it's never too late, in the words of Paul, to rekindle the gift of the Spirit in your life, to discover your calling for this particular season of your life. And then Paul adds, for God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a wise mind. So don't shrink back. Be brave. Go forth with power and with love to be and to do what God is even now calling you to be and to do. My friend Steve Shoemaker has said, the heart of our calling is to live our lives with God and then see where that love takes us. Calling can be adventurous. And it is also the calling of the church to go into the world, baptizing in the name of the Trinity and teaching the way of Jesus. That's the calling of us all. As I baptize people, they go under the water and then up again every time so far. They stand there dripping wet. And then as we look at each other, I lay my hands on their shoulders and I speak their name and I offer this blessing and commissioning. You are God's beloved, called by the Spirit to be a minister of Christ. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and through you give the world peace. So may it be for us all.